Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hello, hello. Is that Bryce Norton?
Hello, Vancouver.
Hello. How are you doing, Bryce Norton?
I'm doing very well, thank you. And hello to all our listeners. Welcome to Homo Sapiens.
Welcome to Homo Sapiens world, viewers and listeners. It's so nice to have your ears next to us.
The podcast equivalent of a bubble bath. That's what I think we should be our little right? selling point, don't you, Alan?
That's a good one, yes.
And your fever pitch excited about today's episode, are you not?
I'm very excited because we have a theme. We have a little theme which we're exploring. What is it, Christopher?
It's LGBTQ plus safe spaces.
Yes. And I think we could do with a few more of those in the world, just as a general point. But we're talking specifically to two lovely boys who live in Edinburgh. Their names are Oscar Kirk Hansen and Zach Riding. And what's really fascinating about them, well, they're both fascinating boys in their own right, but they, during the UT, which is the acronym I refer to as Unprecedented Troubled Times, during UT, they did something remarkable. They started a new business. They opened this cafe, the Greenwood Cafe in Edinburgh, and it's a queer, sober space, safe space. And I think that's really fascinating. I'm really intrigued by that on many levels. And I just think good on them for starting up a business when everybody else's were closing down. So they're obviously very enterprising as well as clever boys. Gosh, I sound like a huge granddad when I said that. But then, you know, I could be their fucking granddad. Let's face it.
Listen, as one, what are you? You're a patron. As one venue owner to another, I'm sure they'll...
That's true. We'll have lots to talk about our overheads and our what other things do we do? They won't have the liquor laws thing that I have to
no,
do.
No, and probably less thefts from the till. No, that's a joke. no.
The thing is, there's less till now because everyone does it on their card.
Oh, of course.
I love when you take... Well, it's been so long since I've served behind the bar at Club Coming, but I love when someone gives me the credit card and I say, do you want to keep it open? Because guess what they say?
Yes. And then Alan...
I use my... powers of my alluring powers when I'm a barman.
Well, you're doing it for good. Let's remember that. Well, so yes. Yeah, because I feel a bit left out. Actually, I've just realised I'm the only person who doesn't own a safe space here. Aside, if we discount my arms in which Ridley the dog is lying as we speak, can I see if you can hear him snoring? Can you hear that?
I'm not on the mic. Thank God you're cute. Yeah,
technology wins again. But yeah, I just want to talk to them about alcohol-free spaces, actually, because I think
that's interesting.
You know, it's really interesting, and I think I will repeat myself. But you know what, listeners, maybe you'll like it. I feel like so much of gay culture, queer culture, is about we unite to, you know, we go and find each other in places that involve drink and drugs. And it's really nice if you can have places where you don't. And
especially for young people as well. I think that's, I'm really inspired by these boys and looking forward to talking to them. So let's go and chat to them, shall we? Hello, boys. It's so lovely to meet you.
Hi, boys.
I love your full names come up on this thing. Zachariah Drew Riding.
Yeah, and the name my mum blessed me with,
That's a good one. And then we've got Oscar Kirk Hansen, a.k.a. Mystica Glamouroscar Hansen.
Zoom's a funny one. It seems to take every name altogether. So I'm, I'm whatever you want me to be, as all drag queens say.
I was going to say, is this the point of where I ask, so which one of you does drag?
Well, it's clearly Zach.
But Blaise, we're so excited to talk to you because of, well, for many reasons, but the reason that we heard about you was because of the Greenwood Cafe, which is this cafe which you've opened in Edinburgh. And I just think it's such a great thing to be opening a business at all. And also just the idea that this, it's a sober space, and also it's for younger people as well. I just think, tell us about how this came about and why you felt the need for it.
Basically, I saw a post on a local share group called the Meadow Share. From a lady called...
Shall we point out to the viewing millions what the Meadows is?
The Meadows is a large area of grass in the south of Edinburgh.
Basically, yeah. And not grass you can smoke, actual grass you like.
No, although there's probably lots of grass you can smoke there. Yes. So, so somebody shared it on a Facebook group and I thought, oh gosh, wouldn't that be a great idea to open a cafe during the middle of a pandemic? Sounds like it'd be a lot of fun. not even an hour later, Oscar shared on Facebook, oh my God, wouldn't this be a great idea to open a cafe? You know, somebody do it with me. And I was like, I was just about to email about it. So
really?
Yeah, it was like fate almost.
Oh, I love that. Kismet. Yeah.
But did you know each other already?
Yeah.
So, but you had the idea separately?
Yes.
Pretty much. I just shared this post almost as a joke. Not like a joke, but I was just very like, oh, wouldn't it be nice if we had a little queer cafe? Ha ha ha, lol. Like maybe as if hypothetically one day someone would do that. And then I started getting like 50 comments from people saying, yes, do it. That would be amazing. And then Zach commented saying, I was about to write them. Should we do it?
Wow.
And I thought, well,
that's so lovely.
Okay.
And why do you think there was such a response to that? Why was there such a need?
I think a whole lot of factors sort of went into it. And I think partly because the options for like queer nightlife and socializing and, you know, just queer spaces in general are so often bars, nightclubs, quite small ones as well with loud music. And the only sort of queer event there is to go to are like drag shows or just club nights. And the thing is, the two of us worked in nightlife, worked at the same bar, mostly the street here in Edinburgh. And Zach is a DJ, me as like a drag queen and a showrunner. And so it is a bit weird that we, the two of us, opened a sort of queer sober space when we like fully just, you know, we went from working in nightlife and partying to being
so it's almost a reaction to what you were, maybe you needed a break. Is that what you're saying?
Probably. And I think as well during lockdown, so many people, you know, they didn't have the option to go out and drink and get drunk, started feeling this need for like something different and a different way to socialize. And the idea of there being a very openly, like explicitly queer space, but where you could just go and like hear each other talk, you know, and like have some soup or a coffee or a croissant or whatever. I think lockdown really helped with that. And it sort of like opened people's minds to like what we could actually do as like a queer community.
How has it been going?
I mean, it's been quiet. We had a really, really busy opening weekend. I think busier than any of us were expecting. But just due to how, obviously, the time that we're living through at the moment, a lot of people, I think, are still scared to go outside. Rightly so, you know. But it's kind of affecting us, but nothing that we didn't expect. You know, we thought this is going to be the most troubling time, probably the best time to open a cafe or any business at the moment, is to do it when you've got all these rules and restrictions in place. Because if you can do it through that, once we're through the other side of this, we're in the clear, and you know the possibilities are endless. So
that's good. So you're on an upward curve.
Here's hoping. Yeah.
And did you discuss the soberness of it? Was that a decision you made together, or was that a license thing, or?
It was definitely something that we thought of going into it. You know, I mean, I know how difficult it is to turn a licensed premises into a viable business anyway in today's world. But it was one of those things that it never even crossed my mind to do alcohol from day one. I was always like, I need somewhere that's open in the day and that's accessible for people under 18. Because they're the people, I think, in Edinburgh, in the queer community, that get neglected more than anybody. Because... Really? I think there's just not a lot of things that they can do that isn't run by charities, you know, LGBT Youth Scotland, things like that. They're the only things that I see for under 18s. And I've even had people say to me, oh, when I was 17 and I was going to the Pride March, I wanted somewhere to go afterwards. And it was throwing it down with rain, and all we wanted to do was go inside, but all of the places are bars with bouncers on the door. You have to be over 18. They were like, I would have, you know, jumped for joy if I knew that there was somewhere like this when I was 17.
Mm. Oh, that's great, boys. That's a great service you're giving to kids.
Is there part of it as well for you that you wanted to create somewhere that isn't online for younger people to meet up as well?
Well, obviously, when we first came up with the ideas and we were like brainstorming what we could do, we were like, oh, great. And we can have like little activities and workshops. And we got this little like basement space with a really low ceiling, which is great for me because I'm 6'3". and we thought we could have all sorts of like events in there, you know, as I was saying, like instead of just a drag show, we have anything else. And then after about a couple of weeks, we thought, oh, right, well, we can't do that because of COVID and, you know, meeting up. And so what we're thinking of doing is doing more online events, like sort of open mics and little workshops, even just like little sort of social meetings, anything really. So I'm going to start brainstorming that more.
Online things with your patrons to keep, so when they can't come to the cafe, you mean? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, like when they can't come to the cafe, or, you know, if lockdown restrictions get even tighter, it's just a little way of creating more community and even more spaces. Because as we were saying, even now, I think a lot of people are still quite scared of leaving the house, or, you know, they don't feel quite safe. Or and also, a lot of the people that we're appealing to are younger, introverted, you know, don't drink. So they don't have this sort of, oh, I can go out and go crazy side. So we are sort of appealing to the people who might not come out, both, you know, in terms of like being gay and, you know, actually coming out to the cafe. So I think doing online events could actually be a way of like creating more community in a way, because I've seen that happen with drag shows, for example. Like after 2 weeks, suddenly every drag queen was doing a Zoom show or a YouTube show or a Twitch show with like all these performers together. And of course, it's not the same thing at all. But it's at least something and a way of bringing us together, you know, instead of us all just sitting at home, you know, despairing about the state of the world.
I know, you know, that's, I, you know, I have a bar called Club Coming in New York, a cabaret bar, and it's this, we have a similar sort of thing, like over the whole thing with COVID, obviously we're closed. And but the thing that got me is, aside from initially sort of thinking, oh gosh, the people who work for and perform there don't have any income now, and we tried to do something about that. But then it became more about the sort of spirit of the bar and the sort of family that we'd created, and how that was in danger of people were craving that. And so I was really impressed actually by how people were doing these sort of, you know, very, very kind of enterprising, doing these different online shows. But now we've started to do them and started to use, maybe it's something you could do, started to use the bar as like a studio, so that people could come and, you know, we've...
Alan, make sure you get a cut. Make sure you get a cut.
20%.
So I've been using my little home sort of living room slash drag factory at this point. But we're coming up towards the second anniversary of, well, what would have been the second anniversary of my show, Glamour. And I was thinking of actually going to the nightclub and filming some bits there, even just like for my hosting bits kind of thing. So I can actually use the spotlight and the smoke machine. And we've got these lovely shops there called Pussy Bombs, which are with an energy drink called Pussy.
I've seen Pussy.
Very healthy stuff.
Oh, and then the jokes begin. You've seen Pussy, because not in a while, I wouldn't imagine.
Oh, honey, it's been yonks.
But yeah, I just want to go back there and like be in drag and just feel stupid and do it, like do my job.
And that sounds great.
Can I ask a question? And this might, I don't associate drag with soberness. And so tell me more about that.
Well, at first, you know, lockdown came in and basically every drag queen the world over was out of a job. And so I had like a week of despairing about that. And then suddenly 1 week of like, right, let's do an Instagram live show. Let's do a YouTube show. Let's do like whatever we can. Content, content, content. And then I started, you know, to sort of get back into the flow of my job, drinking to do that. So like having a bottle of wine as I filmed a live show or whatever and all that. And it got to the point where I was like, this is not fun, because I'm not in a nightclub surrounded by screaming, you know, appreciative queers, basically. I'm just sat exact like right here again, sort of what, you know, on FaceTime with a friend watching a maybe a Twitch show or something. And it just wasn't the same. And I just had this moment of like, okay, I need a break from this. And also this moment of realization that the job of a drag queen is essentially a professional alcoholic up to a point. You can do it, you know, cleverly and soberly.
That's not where I thought you were going with this. I have to say,
it's
more profound. But
well, but up to a point, I just got a little bit tired of like waking up and having a hangover.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Recently, we talked to our friend Amru, whose drag name is Glamru. Is that right, Chris? Glamru.
Yes.
And they are an Iraqi drag queen in London. And they were talking about how during lockdown, it was they wondered, would they miss all that, all the dressing up part? Is that something that is something that kind of you only enjoy communally or communally, whatever, however you pronounce it. And what was fascinating for them was that they kind of dressed up on their own at home sometimes. And I thought that was really interesting, that kind of what you're saying is that a part, you imagine that part of, and it's, you don't imagine, a part of the job, a lot to do with the job, is being out there and kind of being in a party environment. And it's about finding out, I mean, what is the essence of what you do? In some way it is, yes, communicating and entertaining and all that. But it's also something about the dressing up and the transforming that is something that is not, that is a private thing as well. So have you dressed up at home?
Yes, absolutely. And I really started doing, you know, sort of videos at home and like live performances on Zoom, for example, and things like that. And I did get to a point where I actually right now I quite enjoy it in a way, but it is a very different thing. It's much more like, okay, I can sit right here in this exact position I am now with my camera there and some backdrop, including this fan or whatever it is, a green screen, and I can edit and sort of curate a whole little performance, which is fantastic because you've got more options. But it's a very different thing from the sort of instantaneous energy exchange of being on a stage or in a crowd or in any kind of venue and doing it live.
Yeah.
You don't have that, you know, like you do a move connection or a joke or whatever, and the audience cheers, which is like such a big thing with a drag show specifically. You can't make them laugh directly, or you can't hear it, and it doesn't give you that sort of extra motivation to do it.
Yeah. It's like, I suppose, the difference of acting. Like for me, like I really love acting in the theatre because of that. You get that immediate reaction. But I enjoy acting in film as well, but you just don't get that. So maybe the crew laugh, you know what I mean? But
precisely. It's a whole, like my flatmate will be like, oh, that was good, hon. I'm like, no, it wasn't. I have to redo it again. It's like, do another take, you know.
You have to become your own audience in a way. You have to kind of, and I think that's an interesting thing actually about working on camera. You have to understand what it is that you do that works and doesn't. Better, and so it helps you better as a theatre performer, having done some camera work, I think.
Yeah, and as a drag queen, you're doing your hair, your makeup, your outfits, your everything, and now you're like watching yourself, you're performing in front of just a camera, and you have to edit it together, so you're sort of there looking at every little thing like, oh, I missed it, half a lyric there, or I should have made that funnier, I should, you know, it's a lot in a way.
I think what it sounds like is the thing that you're doing is you're doing one half of the relationship that you normally have, and the half that you're doing is really important. You're fulfilling the role within your community that people come to these shows and they gather together and it means so much to them and it's how we connect. But you're sort of doing that, but in this weird vacuum. And actually it's like, it's unrewarding, but weirdly for the people watching, it's still so great.
Yeah.
And like, I was just thinking about how sort of bringing it back to like Greenwood Cafe and like, you know, you are creating something that represents something for people, right? And a place where people can gather. And I think it's so funny that like someone posted it on Facebook and they go, and all these people comment underneath and go, oh, that would be great. But we almost are, as queer people, sort of go, that would be great, but it's not going to happen. You know,
yeah.
You sort of just expect that you wouldn't, oh, it wouldn't work. And, you know, because we're just used to not having this. We are with alcohol in
place. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But not yeah. without
alcohol. We can do everything and sort of let ourselves free once we're drunk and all that. Because that's the thing, like we've almost given ourselves the space to be free or to do all this stuff once we're drunk, it seems. Mm-hmm. You know, like we can socialize and sort of get over our issues and come out of the closet more once we're drunk.
Or under the cover of night is the other thing.
Yeah.
It's like, it's that whole thing of if you go out at night, you know what I mean? Nobody can see you. I think it's almost that kind of inbuilt hidden shame that we still have from like 30, 40 years ago, or even less so than that, really. But I think until, I'd say it would take another generation before kind of gay cafes or queer cafes in general just become more of a norm thing.
Yeah.
Because they are popping up more and more as all over the place. You know, we know of ones in Glasgow now as well that are opening up, which is fantastic. But it is just mind-boggling that it wasn't a thing really before this.
I know. It is really weird. Well, it shows you how much our culture is geared around booze. And darkness. You're right. Darkness as well.
Mm-hmm. This sort of shame. Yeah, it's almost like the closet personified in a way.
Yeah. Mm. I always think it's like... it's like, you know that film Logan's Run? Have you ever seen that, boys? It was 1,000 years ago. But there was it's a sort of a sci-fi film from the 70s or the 80s. And it's like there's in the future. I think Farrah Fawcett was in it when it was the film. There was a TV series afterwards. It's hilarious. But the thing about it is that they live in this sort of dome or planet or something. And there's a bit that when you turn 30, you have to be, you're taken away to this place. You basically age, and then you realize you get killed. Basically, you age out. There's too many people. The planet's overpopulated or something. But you just get taken away and you age out and you go somewhere and you just never see them again. And I think gay culture is a bit like that too. That that you know, once when you reach a certain age, unless you're me and you open your own club, at a certain age you just disappear. Do you know what I mean? Because the outlets available are not particularly designed for you as you get older. You know, it's to do with people who can stay up late and.
Yeah, I think that's another thing I found with the cafe is that our kind of clientele is outside of your typical nightclub scene. It's either pretty, you know, under 18s or, you know, teenagers, or then you do have the kind of older generation who I assume probably don't feel as welcome in nightclubs and things like that. Or it's, you know, it's not their scene. No, you don't, might not want to stay up till 3 a.m, you know, drinking and dancing. Yeah. Like you want to go and have a coffee and a pan au chocolat with your friend without having to feel the need to drink 10 vodka Cokes or whatever.
And be around people who are the same as you, with your tribe. I was also, there's the thing about body fascism, I think, so much a part of our queer culture. Mm. And that, you know, that's another thing, as people get older, as if their bodies don't conform to that very, you know, just another thing about age, people of any age feel it. But I think it must obviously happen as you get older, because you're sort of reminded that you're not young and have a six pack and everything. I'm just curious about you two as young people, how you find that and feel about that in our queer culture, the sort of body sort of obsession.
Definitely is still a thing. I think, for everybody, not just in the queer community, but everywhere, you know, you do have the Instagram models that are paid to promote these things. And you would look at me and you go, well, how am I ever going to achieve that? Do you know what I mean? That is a million layers of makeup and, you know, photo editing, which is the key thing.
It's a big thing. But yeah, in the queer community especially, I mean, everywhere, of course, exactly. But like, there's a sort of added pressure in the queer community, because then we're the sort of, we're supposed to be the outcasts and the sort of the accepting ones. And like, hey, it doesn't matter who you are and what you look like, whatever. But then at the same time, it's like, well, but you need to have a six pack. Like these guys on Grindr. Well, like you need to have a six pack and you need to have a bubble butt and you need to be, you know, like absolutely perfectly whatever. And it's bizarre because like no one is. And then especially during lockdown and during this year where everyone's extremely depressed and extremely, you know, finding all sorts of coping mechanisms to get through it. All these sort of body issues have been popping up more and more.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think even the fact that lockdown has happened and that it's happened to everyone has actually made a lot of people confront their own issues, but then also their own sort of little prejudices that they might have had and think, oh, actually, who am I to judge someone else's body or someone else's coping mechanisms or way of getting through the day?
I think that's actually a very leveling. It's been a very leveling thing.
Mm.
But also, I think the idea that, you know, having queer spaces that don't have the Hunger Games element of like when you go in and you're like, here we go, you know, like you can actually just have a coffee and like, because we always, me and my friend Rod Thomas, who is Bright Light,
performs at Club Cumming.
We used to hang out in Hackney in London together, like young queer kids, and we always, there was the Joiner's Arms on Hackney Road, which was like this old pub that was open till like 5 a.m. and it was like, you know, there was always like water coming out the toilets and like the whole thing was a mess and like, you know, it was just falling apart, but everybody loved it and it was really great fun there. But we used to joke with each other, like if we were meeting up during the day, we'd be like, oh, should we go for a coffee at the Joiners, i.e. like you would never set foot in there unless you were absolutely blind drunk
and, traffic.
You know, and it's
and also it's, those places are ugly with the lights on, like Club Cumming with the lights up. There's a knitting thing at Club Cumming, and I've never been, but I was like, I want to go. There's all these, you know, early evening, we have a knitting thing. It's a really great range of people. It's a great thing for the community. Little old ladies and, you know, gay guys from up the road all come. And I was like, I want to go and knit. Because I know the knitting, it was my idea, but I know the knitting teacher. And he and Daniel, my partner in the bar, said, no, Alan, you won't like it. I was like, I will. He went, no, they have the lights up full. I was like, I'm not going.
No. There's something about like a nightclub space, like exposed. Because
Cumming's all red shades and all sort of Weimarian velvet and all, you know, dark and lovely and little pools of red light. And then, you know, when you, we sometimes have meetings there and things and all the lights are up. It's not pretty. You know, it's all smoke and mirrors.
Let alone the person who you've been dancing with for the past hour.
That still a thing? Like just when the lights go up, like, what the fuck was I thinking?
You're like, it's so late now, I might as well.
That's the end of part one for our LGBT Safe Spaces episode. We're going to be chatting more to Oscar and Zach in part two, so head over to your feed, click on part two, a bloody listen.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Powered by Spirit Studios.